That was awesome. That was a cruel tease. I want to hear more now. Dang. Oh, well, I really appreciate Pastor Ricardo. We just met last night, but you know, when we met, my wife Lacey is in the back there with our two boys, Anchor and Everest. They're zoning out on their little devices there. So, but anyways, when we met, oh, we have another baby also on the way, December. I should introduce him as well. It's a boy. Yeah, there you go. Can't see him, but he's there. Anyways, when we met Pastor Ricardo and Kendra last night, I could just sense like a real kindredness. I was like, wow, you guys are legit. You guys are the real deal. So I really appreciate the opportunity and just the last minute invitation to come and share. And honestly, nothing gives me more joy than to talk about the gospel and to talk about Jesus and what he's doing and his presence with us and talk about the kingdom. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. There's really nothing that makes me happier. Anyway, just to give you a little bit of background, let's see here. We both pretty much grew up in this area. We were high school sweethearts, and let's see here. Then eventually I moved out to California to go to ministry school out there, and then 8 years ago we moved overseas to Asia. And now we've been in Thailand for the last 6.5 years, 8 years in Asia. And both of our boys were born in Thailand. And we live there and minister throughout the country, but also in a number of different countries in Asia. And so most of what we do is equipping the body of Christ to do the works of Jesus, to walk as he walked and do the things that he did, among unreached people groups in some of the most difficult and hard to reach places on earth, in conflict zones and closed nations and that kind of thing. We want to equip the saints. Ephesians 4 says that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers as a gift to equip the saints for the work of ministry, not so that the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers could do all the ministry, okay? But to equip the saints, the everyday believers, to do the work of ministry. And Jesus modeled that so well by coming and investing in the 12 disciples and then leaving so that they could carry on his ministry. He began a ministry and then handed it off to them, and that was his, and now it's gone worldwide. You know, and so that's what he modeled, and that's what we want to do. And Jesus really, really was simple. He would heal the masses. He would cast out demons and raise the dead. And then he would simply teach people about the kingdom. He would demonstrate the kingdom and teach about the kingdom. It was simple. And he did it in ways that whoever he's talking to, from whatever sphere of society they're coming from, they could grasp it. So that's kind of the heart that we have. We want to see everyone, you know. God's looking for simple people. He's not looking for super trained, educated, smart, gifted, talented people who can do really well on their own. He's looking for simple people who can be like children. And so if you can be willing to be simple, then God can use you. Okay. And I really, really believe, and we'll share more testimonies about that, but you know, part of what we do is humanitarian relief in Southeast Asian conflict areas, you know, just taking care of basic survival needs, food, medicine, shelter for people who have been forced to flee their homes and live in the jungle because of bombs and fighting and all this kind of thing. So we're doing that currently. But also the rest of it is equipping the saints among the unreached and the closed nations and restricted places to walk in the power and love of Jesus. And not to go and do everything ourselves, okay? But really to raise an army. That's what we want to do. And so some of the things I want to share, some testimonies, but not stuff that I've done directly, but the stuff that everyday believers, I'm an everyday believer, I say that, but these are people who work normal jobs and they haven't left their hometown, okay? Amen. They, this one lady, so where we live in Thailand, there's just this particular city where we live, there's just a staggering amount of witchcraft and dark spiritual activity. Pastor Ricardo and Kendra, these guys, they're familiar with this stuff themselves. I'm sure you've probably shared some stories, eh? Anyways, so this is one of those places where there's just a lot of that stuff. I don't need to go into detail, but there's a lot of it. And there was a believer, so we've been training the local Thai people to heal the sick, cast out demons, hear God's voice, and simple evangelism, that kind of thing. So we've been doing that for a while there. So anyways, one of the ladies there, she went to a family's home. They're not Buddhist. They follow this other local religion that's really got a lot of witchcraft and stuff. It's not normal Buddhism. Anyways, so there's this woman in a wheelchair, and she's crippled. And this lady goes to pray for her at her house. She feels something pushing back at her. And then she realizes this is a demon. So she commands the demon to come out. And the demon leaves the woman's body, and they hear this high-pitched squeak on the back wall of the house. And as soon as that happens, the lady is completely healed and can walk. And it was a spiritual thing that had a physical effect. And so she cast out the demon. This woman who was bound to a wheelchair was immediately able to walk. And she and her daughter both got born again, and they've become members of the local church and all that stuff. So, and her daughter has also been delivered of many demons as well. one time there was a... You know, where we are, many of the young people have come to faith in Jesus. They're coming from Buddhist or Muslim homes. There's a very unreached place. It's less than 1% Christian in Thailand. And where we are, especially when we moved there, it was less than 0.5% Christian. Actually, now it's over 1%. I'm not saying that's because we're there, but it's something God's doing, you know? We're part of it, but we're not running the whole show. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, the young people have been coming to faith in Jesus because they'll visit a worship service and then they're just standing there in where people are worshiping, and all of a sudden nobody's praying for them or laying hands on them or anything. They just fall on the ground and start weeping or laughing or screaming or something like that. Sometimes they have demons, they get delivered, and then filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're just on the floor for a long time. Nobody's touched them, okay? This just happens. God just does it all on his own. And then after that, somebody will share the gospel with them. They'll get born again. Then they show up at the church every single day. And this happened over and over and over and over. And one time it was even a local monk who has a reputation in the region for having a lot of supernatural power. He's very demonized. He does all kinds of demonic signs and wonders and different things like that. He's famous. And he, for whatever reason, I have no idea why, wandered into one of these worship times, and he's standing there, and then all of a sudden he just, wham, hits the floor, starts moving like a snake on the ground, and all these kids who all got saved the same way, okay, recently gathered around him, cast all the demons out, and he got born again. As well, and became a part of the church. This is real stuff. That's right. And you can't, they don't teach this in missions strategy courses. Okay? There's no, this is a supernatural work of God. He just does it, and we need to be okay with it. All right? Anyways, you know, there is another time, one of the guys, one of the local guys, he used to be a leader in this temple where they would do these horrible rituals where hundreds of people gather and they all get violently demon-possessed, and there's a lot of blood and awful things happening. And he was one of the top leaders in that thing. And anyways, he got saved. And so he's a part of this local church, and he's been learning about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit, spiritual warfare, different things like that. So one day he's out walking, and he sees a man walking his dog. And the Holy Spirit says to him, "That dog has prostate cancer." So he walked up to the man. You guys are just meeting me for the first time in interviews. So he walks up. He walks up to the owner of the dog and says, "You need to be careful. Your dog has prostate cancer." None of this like, "Hey, I feel like maybe," or ask some soft questions to take the temperature first, or, you know, can you show the guy he's not a weirdo, something like that, and then get, no, "You need to be careful, your dog has prostate cancer." The guy is shocked, because he already knows his dog has prostate cancer. He's already been to the vet, and the vet has diagnosed him, has diagnosed the dog. So he says, "How did you know that?" I said, "Well, Jesus told me." "Can I pray for your dog?" Yes, sir. So the guy lets him. He lays hands on the dog. They leave. They part ways. And then a couple weeks later, he's out walking again, sees the same guy. The guy recognizes him and says, "You, I have to tell you what happened. I have to tell you what happened. That day we went home, the dog stopped bleeding, and I took him to the vet, and the vet says, I don't understand what happened. There's no cancer in this dog." And the man says, "Well, it was this Christian. It was a Christian, and he prayed for him, and now the cancer's gone." The doctor's like, "I can't believe this. I have to meet this guy." And so the word of this story made its way through the community, and there's all these people now who want to know Jesus because this dog got healed of cancer. Isn't that... I mean, again, they do not teach this in mission strategy classes. Okay, well, when you go in, you find a man of peace, and then you heal his dog. No, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, I just feel like, okay, I need to just be along for the ride here.
Yes, sir.
You know, Lord, whatever you want to do, he's the Lord of the harvest.
Amen.
My job is to be okay with whatever he wants to do and just go along with it. You know what I'm saying? It's unusual. I love it. But, you know, Thai people, they love animals. They have a high value for compassion, caring for animals, and that kind of thing. And so the fact that the Lord, I love, you know, with testimonies, okay, David said that the Lord's testimonies are my counselors. Okay? His testimonies teach us. And when I see something that the Lord has done, I love to just take a moment and look a little deeper and really think about it. Just sit in it for a moment. And I love the idea that Jesus is walking with our friend. His name's Gohui. That Jesus is in Gohui. He's walking with him. And Jesus has compassion on a dog and wants to heal him. And that's what Thai people see when they hear that. They're like, "Wow, he really cares. He's really good. He's really good," you know. We've also had, you know, many people also healed of cancer and different things like that. That's the only dog I'm aware of, actually. But, you know, recently there was a woman who had stage 4 cancer and was in chemo, and her hair was all fallen out. She was very frail, and her friend had a dream that she got healed of cancer, and so she brought her to church. I happened to be speaking that morning, and earlier that morning before church, God told me there's going to be someone there with cancer, and I'm going to heal them. And so I said that, and then she came forward. She'd never come before. I don't think she was a believer yet at that point. But some people from the church prayed for her, and she went home and got checked out. The doctor could find no cancer in her body. She was completely healed. And so she and her husband got saved. And we have thousands of these stories, you guys. You know, there's this one local woman who, this is an ongoing testimony up to today, that her father is, he's called a Nola, which is kind of like this, in the deep south of Thailand, they're sort of like a spirit medium type of thing. Anyways, he's a very well-known spiritual leader in this folk religion in the region. And she's a believer, and her whole family are not believers. They're Buddhist slash folk religion, okay? And so they all ostracized her for years. And then just over the past year, like, she's been praying for them and reaching out to them, and the Holy Spirit will say, do this thing or talk to this person. One by one, each person in her family is getting saved. Now, even her mom is saved. At this point, her dad's the only one left, but I think it's just a matter of time. But this is what we want to see, is the saints equipping, doing the works of Jesus. You know, there was this other woman. We did a class for a while there. We did a class, and she, so many stories from that. But she heard the Holy Spirit say, "Go to this other city." Like now, you know, it was an hour drive away. So she's like, "Well, can I do it later?" And he's like, "Go now." So she went to the other city. She didn't know where she was going. She's like, "Okay, now what? I'm in this other city." And he says, "Now go over to this house." So she went to the house, knocked on the door, and this woman answered. And she said, "I don't know what's going on, but the Lord sent me from this other city to come here to your house." And then she started to prophesy over her and share the things that she heard the Lord speaking. And the woman started crying and pulled out a knife, and she said, "I was waiting for my husband to come home, and I was going to murder him. But because of what you just shared with me, I'm not going to." And she repented and encountered the Lord. You know, just amazing, you know, intervention in actually stopping crime by obeying the Holy Spirit. And again, our job is not to question or criticize what he does. It's to say, "Yes, sir. I'll do what you say." "Yes, Lord." You know? I want to say, you know, this is Missions Month. You've probably heard many stories or things from other countries already. Maybe you're going to hear more. Do not say, "Well, that happens over there." Okay? Yeah. I'm sharing all these stories from overseas. It can be tempting to say, "Wow, look at what happens over there." But the truth is that two people don't change based on geography. That is the Lord and the devil. God doesn't change from one country to another. You know, a lot of times when we experience things in that mission, how many of you guys have been on a mission trip? How many of you on that mission trip experienced things in that country that you didn't experience here? I'm talking like spiritually, or, you know, seeing breakthroughs, or praying for someone, seeing something cool happen that you don't see here at home. You know, that's a very common experience. I think there's many different reasons for that, but one of them is that we go overseas and we are on the job. You know what I'm saying? We are focused. We are on a mission for 10 days. This is what we're doing. We're going to see God move. We are going to serve. We are going to follow Jesus. And then we come home and it's back to life as usual. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. How did the Father send Jesus? Jesus didn't leave his hometown. Okay? Well, okay, he didn't leave the region surrounding his hometown. Like, they were all close together. He was born in Hampton Roads, he stayed in Hampton Roads. He might have crossed from Virginia Beach to Norfolk sometimes, but like, he stayed in that area, all right? But he said, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And that means from heaven to earth. So for me, I live with a conviction that I'm not sent from America to Asia. Okay? I'm sent from heaven to earth because this is his decision. I didn't do anything to get in this position, and neither did you. He decided to do it because he's your Father. Okay? And he's the Lord. And so we're sent from heaven to earth, and that means that wherever we are, we have a purpose.
Yes, sir.
There's something God wants to do. And the more you start to live with that conviction, the more you start to see that kind of stuff happen right where you live. You know, all the types of miracles that we've seen overseas, we actually saw in America first. Paralytics walking, wheelchairs emptied out, blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, demons cast out, all that kind of thing. We saw in America, just in the community, at church, in the hospitals, different things like that, before we ever moved overseas. And, you know, there's something about when you find out the mission of Jesus and who you are in him, it changes the way that you live. There's this little old Filipina lady. She was tiny. I mean, tiny. She was, I'm not sure her exact age. She was somewhere over 70, 70s, 80s, something like that. She was a grandmother. And again, tiny lady. And one day she just, I met her, but one day she just decided to go to the hospital and pray for people. Okay. That day, three floors of the hospital were healed and cleared out. She's not a pastor or a leader or anything like that. You know, we did this training course in Bangkok, and there's this woman there who sells street food for a living. She realized she had a calling and a passion for evangelism. And she sells fish balls, little street food. And she thought, I don't have a stage, I don't have a stadium, but I have this cart. And so she decided, this is going to be my platform. And over the years, she estimates that she's led around 1,000 people to the Lord at her street food cart. This is sent from heaven to earth. She never left her hometown. She's not in full-time career ministry and that kind of thing. She's simple. She's a simple person who's available. I could share story after story after story. Just like that. That's who God's looking for. Simple, simple people. You know, I'm I remember I was right here at the oceanfront, met this lady on the sidewalk, and she had oh yeah, that's right. I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. do you need healing in your body or something like that? And she had, turns out she had cancer, so I just prayed for her. And she starts jumping and spinning around at, on the sidewalk at the oceanfront, okay? She starts jumping and spinning around and like, whoa, and sweating like crazy. And she's like, something's happening, and the pain left her body and all that stuff. No idea, I've never seen her again in my life. But there's a guy standing next to her, and he's like, well, I have back problems. And he had all these rods, these metal rods fused to his spine going all the way down his back. And so I just prayed for him, and his back got really hot, and he starts being able to bend in ways that he couldn't usually because of the metal in his back. And that was just right here at the oceanfront. There's something about being available. You know, there's something about being simple, childlike, and available. You know, we go to conference after conference and read book after book and have X, Y, Z number of pastors and missionaries and evangelists lay hands on us so we can get an anointing or really do something great for God. You know, we're waiting for this move of God. We're waiting for a move of God, and we pray for years and years and years for a move of God. God's waiting for a move of you. The move of God we've been waiting for happened 2,000 years ago. When God became a man and went to the cross, the sin of the world, the sin, sickness, and oppression of the world, the weight of all of that was in him, and he died. When he died, all of those things died with him. When he was buried, all of the humanity was buried with him. This is what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5. It says, one died for all, therefore all have died. Everybody was included in his death. When he was raised from the dead, we were included in his resurrection. And so if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, which means a new type of creature. It doesn't mean an old, kind of nicer version of the old thing. Okay? It actually means a completely new type of creature. All right? You're in a different class than you used to be, because of his work on the cross. Because you were included in him. Your new identity is him. You're one with him. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. That's what he said. This life in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So he didn't, you know, we think of God as this mechanic that we bring our old broken down car to, and he comes in, and over many years he starts to work in there and replace things and replaces the, you know, he gives a new paint job and, you know, buffs out all the dents and new parts where they're needed and that kind of thing. And then eventually you've got, you know, your car is like new. You and I are not like new. Okay? The gospel is not that. Okay, that's the gospel of, I don't know, Alcoholics Anonymous, something like that. The gospel of Jesus is that the car got destroyed, okay? And then he built a whole new one out of new parts. And it's a car like nothing you've ever seen before.
Amen.
It's spectacular. You can't even put a price on it. Because, like, the materials aren't even from this planet. Like, we don't know how to evaluate the cost of this car. All right? And then he gave it to you as a gift. That's the gospel. And so when you just meditate on this simple reality of what he has done, this is the move of God. The gospel is the move of God. When you believe it, you see the move of God on the earth through your life around you. When you believe the gospel, this is what Jesus said in Mark 16. These signs will follow those who believe. All right? They'll place their hands on the sick and they'll recover. They'll drink deadly poison and it won't harm them. They'll pick up snakes and they won't be killed. They'll speak in other tongues. These signs will follow those who believe. Not these signs will follow the missionaries. These signs will follow the pastors. these signs will follow the apostles, and then they won't follow anyone else for thousands of years. No, these signs will follow those who believe. Those who believe what? The gospel. Because he's telling the disciples. He's telling the disciples, go preach the gospel in all of creation. All right? And these signs will follow those who believe. He's telling them, here's how you're going to recognize the ones who have believed what you're saying. There's two identifying characteristics of a Christian, of a follower of Jesus, given in the Bible. That's one of them. Signs, following. The other one is, Jesus said, they will know that you are mine by the love you have for one another. It's not, they'll know that you're mine by the businesses you boycott. It's not, they'll know you're mine by the t-shirts you wear or by the fish sticker on your car. All right? It's by love.
Amen.
And there will be signs following you. Love and power. Those are the defining characteristics of the God-man Jesus walking the earth. It was love like no one had ever seen before, and it was power like no one had ever seen before. It was infectious. So much so that when the crowd got too big, he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And everybody left except for the 12. He said, why are you still here? And they said, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life.
Yes.
We've never seen anybody like you.
Yeah.
This love and power. We don't know what you're talking about with the blood and flesh thing, because he hadn't gone to the cross yet. It really didn't make sense at the time. But they're like, you're different. I come alive when you speak. You know, this is you and I. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making his appeal through us. This is 2 Corinthians 5 again. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. You know, why don't I just read that? Hallelujah. Yew! I usually use a paper Bible, but today I was like, I'm going to be... All right. 2 Corinthians 5. Here we go. It really doesn't get better than the Bible, you guys. It's... You guys know there's no deeper knowledge than the cross.
Amen.
There's no secret sauce or trick that you can find out about from some special person beyond the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel is it. He's the beginning and end. The life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, his person, is the beginning and end of wisdom and knowledge. He is everything. You know, so many of us are waiting for these special ideas or keys that are really going to bring us into the promises of God, but all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ. He's it. I love when Paul said, I chose to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. I'm going to, and this is a man who studied his whole life, I'm going to purposefully, voluntarily limit my knowledge to Christ and him crucified. I'm not going to know anything else. Hallelujah. God found an educated man, and he had to make him simple. Second Corinthians 5, starting in, verse 13 is a good one. If we've lost our minds, it's for God. If we're of sound mind, it's for you. So If I seem crazy to anyone, it's his fault. But apparently, the reason I'm coherent right now is for your all's sake. I don't know. That's a fun little verse. But for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one by the flesh. I'm going to say that again. We recognize no one by the flesh, including yourself. Say, I don't recognize myself by the flesh. It's good. Even though we knew Christ in this way, we've known Christ by the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. So if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. That word new, again, it doesn't mean a like new. It doesn't mean a new version of the old thing. It means a totally new creature is made, is born. This is what it means to be born again. The old things passed away. This is what we say when people die. They've passed away. The old things in your life have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So God was in Christ, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. So again, Jesus began a ministry, and then he handed it off to us. You know, I know, Pastor Ricardo, when you came in here, you inherited a ministry.
Yeah.
This church was already going.
Yeah.
Somebody else planted this church. Somebody else started it. And then you came in, you inherited it, right? And now you're hearing from God and taking things into the next season, right? So, but you didn't start it. You inherited this church. And so this is what Jesus did. He started a ministry and then gave it to us. And so your calling, we all want to know what our calling is. We all want to know what the will of God is. And usually we think about, should I be a dentist or an accountant? Okay? We're praying, should I live in this house or that house? Should I live in this city or that city? But the will of God for your life is to carry on the ministry that Jesus started.
Yes,
in the way that he started it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right? And it doesn't mean you have to go to another country to do that.
Yeah.
If everybody did that, there would be no Christians left in their own thing. And frankly, sometimes it's better to let the indigenous guys do it and just get behind them. I love that video from earlier. I believe in that. That's what I'm giving my life to, is just getting behind the indigenous. The indigenous believers, indigenous missionaries. But anyway, so you know, what's my calling? What's God's will for your life? It's written down. It's written down. We don't have to wonder.
Yes, sir.
It's written down. Make disciples. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Pay your taxes. Hello. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. If you're wondering, you know, what about raising the dead? Yes. It's not written in there as a suggestion, people, by the way. It's actually a command. Thou shalt not murder. This is the elevated kingdom version of that. Not only are you not killing, you're actually bringing them back to life. This is a command. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. This is a command, again. Freely you've received, so freely give. And he told his disciples, teach. If you're wondering, like, oh, well, he said that to the disciples, and he meant that for that little group right there. But then later on, he cleared that up by saying, make disciples in every nation, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. The will of God is written down. He's made it clear and obvious. But the problem is we have such a low opinion of ourselves that we disqualify ourselves from it. But again, he's not looking for special, trained, qualified, educated people. He's looking for simple people who can be like a child.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is for such as these.
Amen.
I remember I was in Haiti. in 2010, right after the earthquake. And I don't know that I want to share the whole story just for the sake of time, but one of the things that I did there is, you know, we're walking through this. My church sent a huge medical team. It was like 50 people on this team. But there were 7 of us who were there just for supernatural healing. It was mostly doctors, and then there were 7 of us who were there who we were sent by our church just to go pray for the sick and see God move. Because, you know, that situation, that's... it's a desperate, horrible situation, and we need God to move. So that's why I was on that trip for that reason. And I've been qualified as a physician's assistant as well. I assist the great physician. And you have the same qualification as well, by the way. So, but one of the things we do is we're looking for people who are injured and sick, and they're everywhere, okay? They're everywhere. And this one day we gathered all the little kids. There's tons of kids running around. We gathered all the little kids and equipped them as the ministry team. It's just on the street, okay? And we told the kids, if you lay hands on people and say, in Jesus' name be healed, then Jesus will heal them. That's what we told them. That was it. That was training. And the beautiful thing about kids is that they're very gullible, okay? They just believe you. They believe in Santa Claus. They believe in, you know, if I lay my hands on this person, they'll get healed. So we would gather, you know, sick or injured person or whatever. The kids would lay hands on them. In Jesus' name be healed. Boom, the person's healed. Next person. One after another, for dozens of people, and eventually somebody took a chair and dragged it out into the middle of the street. That was the healing chair, and anybody who needed healing in their body would sit in the chair. This just happened, okay? We didn't really orchestrate very much after this point, but then all the kids would just lay hands on them, in Jesus' name, be healed, and they'd get healed. This is simple. Simple, simple stuff, you know? And the kingdom of God is for, if you can be like a child, you can have the kingdom. Yeah. So I share that to, you know, the world's in a crazy season right now. This is our hour, guys. We're alive for a reason right now. You. There's a reason you're alive now. Okay? You have a purpose. If your purpose was just to worship God only, then you'd be heaven by now. Okay? There's a reason you're still on earth. God has a purpose for your life on the earth right now. And Jesus said that you are the light of the world. He said you are the salt of the earth. You are a city on a hill.
Yes, sir.
And God is big and powerful, and he can do anything. He could just... But he chooses to move through you and I. He limits himself and allows things to take longer for the sake of including us. Why? Because he's a father. Because he's a father. If I'm cooking, my youngest over there, 3 years old, wants to help. Yes, I want him to help. Absolutely, you can help. Because I want the connection. I want the time with him. I want him to learn how to do things as well. It's about his development and our relationship. And it doesn't go like it does when I'm cooking alone, okay? It's slower, it's messier, but that is okay. And frankly, I'm sad when he stops, because it only lasts for a couple minutes. But guys, God is a father, and he's chosen to involve us in his business for the sake of connection, because he's raising up sons and daughters.
He's raising up sons and daughters. And so the things that he wants to do on the earth, he is overjoyed to include you.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because he's a good dad. He doesn't get angry when we are clumsy and messy and we don't know how to do things correctly. He's patient. He knows who we are. He knows our limitations. He's not upset about it, but he loves to involve us. And so with the world in the state that it's in right now, I share all this to say, like, this is our hour. You are qualified to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to do the Father's business. That is his plan. That is his will for your life. This is for everybody who believes. So, I just want to pray for you. Yeah. Father God, you're a good dad. We love you. And we're really humbled and frankly sometimes confused at the degree to which you include us in your business. God, but we're thankful and we love you. And I just pray for each person in this room right now that there would be a conviction of purpose, of divine purpose, that there would be a conviction of divine assignment, that there would be a revelation of the presence of God, the anointing of God that is on them because of your work on the cross. Not because of any discipline of our own, but because of what you have done. That they would discover, as if for the first time, Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That Jesus Christ is walking in Virginia Beach today. And he's using our body. We love you, Jesus. I just pray for a mighty anointing, a mighty move of God that would come from simple people, simple sons and daughters who can be like children and simply be available and gullible to you, God. We love you, Jesus.